Well, good morning again. It's great to hear you all greeting each other. And, I mentioned this earlier, but if you've ever been around here, we obviously did something a little bit different this morning with our worship through music. And I just want to tell you, these vocalists who were up here and our sound media team, they did a great job, didn't they? All right, let's just show them a little gratitude, okay? And I'm just here to tell you, that wasn't easy for them, but they display courage. They display bravery before us all by rolling with it, okay? And the reason, again, just so you know why we needed to do that, is because we are short on musicians here at this campus. So I say that to say this, if you play an instrument, okay, would you consider exploring joining this team? You know, I talk to a lot of new people to the church, to this campus, and overall they love it and what they're experiencing here. Some have even told me things like, you know, I feel like I finally found home, and that they are being so blessed by so much that they are experiencing here. Well, I just got to say, if that's the case, when we are a part of a home, we serve that home, don't we? And we certainly are called to do that as participants of the church. So again, if you play something, please talk to me, okay? I'll help you get connected. And not only that, maybe you don't play an instrument. We also have a great need for people to serve in our sound in our media booth, just once a month even, okay? Or we're also looking for assistance once a month in our growing kids ministry area. People to support the teacher, not even necessarily to lead a lesson in that space, but just to support the one who is. So again, if you even feel the slightest leading to any of that, I'd encourage you to respond to that and take that as God's leading, okay? By talking to me after service. But with that said, let's now turn our attention to God's word. Let's turn our attention to what he has for us in the way of a sermon this morning. And to begin, I want to ask you to just join me once again in prayer, if you would. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, just proclaiming your goodness, Lord, and your generosity toward us as a people, Lord. And a part of that is the ability that we have to even gather in a space like this to hear from you and to interact with you and to interact with one another who are just seeking more and more of you. So, Lord, I just pray that over these next few minutes as we look at your word, that you would just guide us, that you would lead us into what you have for us. And I pray this, and we all pray this together in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the whole church said, amen. All right, so with all that, last week we began our teaching on this word called sanctification, or what is commonly referred to as holiness. And we began to use this analogy of a road trip to do so, and to talk about the overall journey of sanctification, which in fact has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And to help you with that, if you weren't here last week, I would just ask you, make sure you grab one of these, okay, at our connection center on the way out, and see me or see someone else or see the filled out one at the connection center to know how to label each destination on that map, because we're going to continue with that today and with our road trip series today. Now, with that said, when my family and I travel, when we take a road trip, there is always conversation, okay? Before the trip even takes place, conversation to get a feel maybe for something that each individual would enjoy that we could make a part of that trip. For example, we were ultimately traveling to Branson, Missouri one time, but my daughter was young at the time, okay, and she was really into the American Girl dolls. Do you remember those? And they had a flagship store with a full experience in Chicago. So we traveled to Branson by the way of Chicago, and we spent like a day and a half in Chicago for her to experience all of that. So we had conversations leading into a trip, right? And then there are obviously times for conversation that take place physically in the car, on the physical road trip. And we, you know, my wife and I often as parents, we would have conversations with our while our kids were doing whatever, you know, and we'd have conversations with them and with one another as a husband and wife. And then we would often throw in a game. I don't know if you're familiar with some of the road games to make the time go, but we'd play a game like, you know, how many of this color car can you find? Or we'd do the classic alphabet game, you know, making our way through the alphabet, taking turns, naming things that we saw along the travel that began with that letter. And this all, again, this all just got us talking, okay, on the trip and conversation. And it helped us to move forward as a family and along in our journey. Well, with that said, as we continue today this road trip analogy with this aspect of sanctification, I want today to address five talking points, okay? Five talking points of the journey that can assist us with this conversation. And with our conversation about the topic at hand, the conversation about sanctification. This conversation maybe with those around us, whether that be within our churches or in our communities or in the neighborhoods around us. And these points that we're going to talk about, they are in fact just good talking points in general about what it means to be a Christ follower. Now, with all that said, in the book Be Holy, edited by Joseph Coulson, Michael Walters, who was actually the Houghton Wesleyan pastor for many years, he described these five talking points when it comes to sanctification. And again, I think this will help us as we process it for ourselves, as well as helping us communicate this idea of sanctification to others, which is important, okay? Because as we are on this journey of sanctification, I believe, church, that it is healthy. And I believe, in fact, that we are commanded, okay, to talk about it, to share it with others, to encourage others in it, to encourage one another as the church in this process of sanctification. So let's jump into that, okay? Let's jump into the conversation as we travel down the road. And with that said, the first talking point is this. It's simply this. It's about Jesus, okay? Sanctification is about Jesus. In John 14, 16, Jesus states this, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if Jesus is the only way to the Father, which he is, and if Jesus demonstrated what holiness or sanctification looks like, then church, who better? Who better than anyone else on earth should be the center of our conversation about sanctification or holiness? In fact, Walters, in the aforementioned book, he states this. He states that rather than using the call to holiness as an excuse to exclude others, like the Pharisees, Jesus demonstrated the inclusiveness of holiness by his relationship with the outcasts of Jewish society. And I say that to see this. You see, when it comes to Christians, okay, myself included, when it comes to us, it can often get quite abrasive as we discuss or as we even are tempted to argue different beliefs of theology, which may be less than helpful. So with that said, I believe that the best way to avoid that is to always lead by example, and to also always talk about the absolutes that Jesus himself taught, that Jesus himself lived out, because again, it's all about Jesus. As a church in the past, we have referred to these as the boulders of the faith. You see, church, Jesus is the best example. He is the best advertisement. He is the best resource for sanctification. So when it comes to talking point one about sanctification, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Now, I want to pause here for a second. I want to make an observation. You know, Jesus, again, is the best example of sanctification in its fullest form, what we referred to last week as entire sanctification, the point at which Jesus is the Lord of our all. I mean, he was God. Jesus was God himself in bodily human form. So he didn't really experience the journey like we do. But he, regardless, he stands as the example of what entire sanctification, which we are striving for and we are praying for and surrendering to as Christians, he stands as what that looks like. Because we are on a journey to become more and more like him. That's what sanctification is. More and more like him every single day. Though again, he didn't experience the journey because he was perfect. He was perfect from the start because again, he is God. And because of that, he is the only way to the Father in heaven, whom we are to emulate. And so with that said, again, he should be, okay? And we get so tempted to get off track here. This seems like a simple statement, but it's not. We're so tempted to get away from the absolutes and argue theology and distinct things. But he should be the center of our conversations. He should be the primary talking point when it comes to sanctification. But with that said, our conversations with others as we journey towards sanctification, they shouldn't just be limited to talking about Jesus, but get this, about actually living like Jesus. Not just talking about Jesus, but actually living like Jesus. So our next talking point on this road trip is just that. Sanctification is about being like Jesus. It's about being like Jesus. Now, I'm sure most of us, we've all heard the phrase fire insurance. You ever heard of that to describe salvation? Like by accepting him, we escape the flames of hell, which is true. But Jesus, listen, Jesus wants so much more for and from us. He truly wants us to live out a life that displays growth, that displays change, that displays fruit. For the kingdom of God begins here. The kingdom of God begins now. It begins here and now. And it is lived out, church, in and through our lives as we grow in living like Jesus. You know, maybe you remember our Lenten series, which was all about that, the here and now of the kingdom of God. So with that said, we do ourselves and we do others a huge disservice when we think for ourselves or when we communicate to others, you know, that once you say a prayer of salvation or something, and that from there you are set to head straight back into the life that you've had all along and lived all along, that we are simply to believe that God is just up there now. We do a huge disservice to ourselves and others in that. For Jesus himself, okay, he clearly commands us to do much more than that. And he does so in places like in his Great Commission, where he gives us some steps of salvation. In fact, I want us to look at what he states in this Great Commission. It's found in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. God's word says this. I, Jesus said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he continues with this. Teach these new disciples to what? To obey. To obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In short, there is far more to a life with Christ than simply acknowledging him. And yes, okay, don't hear me wrong. Faith in Christ is the primary requirement of salvation. That's what it is. It is faith in Christ. But Jesus, he then calls us, okay, to live it out, to obey, and to teach others. And listen, we can't teach others if we aren't living it out ourselves. We just can't. And we are called to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit given to us to accomplish this. And when it comes to taking a physical road trip, I want you to just imagine for a second, if you will, just imagine getting into the vehicle but not putting that vehicle into drive. That's pointless, right? It's pointless. Well, it is just as pointless, church, to accept Christ or to lead others to for fire insurance reasons, but not grow. That's pointless. That's pointless. And moving along in the journey, so if we ourselves, or if we lead others and our friends or our family or congregants even, to simply enter the vehicle, but we don't equip them, themselves or them in order regards to how to move forward, if we don't do that through this thing called discipleship, we will all just simply be sitting safely in the car, right? But never actually enter the highway to begin the journey that God has for you. He has good plans in store for you that we are all called to be a part of. Discipleship is key to sanctification. And with that, the third talking point on this road of sanctification is this. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. Now, one part of Revive Wesleyan that personally excites me is our outreach department and how we engage with, how we support other external ministries. And with that said, one of the phrases that we hold fast to here in our financial commitments to these partner ministries is that it needs to be this. It needs to be transformational rather than transactional. And so to have true transformation when it comes to our Heart Check partners, our outreach department partners, there needs to be relationship, you see. So just know that we are in significant relationship with our partners all throughout the community, all throughout the region, all throughout the city of Buffalo and the globe, whether that be through volunteering to serve within their ministries or maybe helping their staff to grow. We are in relationship with them, which is how the saving knowledge, Church of Jesus Christ, that's how it comes alive. I mean, we could simply write, we could simply write a check to a ministry partner or to an individual which is doing something nice and good, and we could just leave it at that and have no further interaction. But that is not how God has called us to work together. And that's just an example, because likewise, hear me now, that is not how God calls us to minister to those around us whom we are journeying toward further sanctification with within the church. It's about relationship with one another. And if we look back at the Great Commission, that Matthew 28 that we looked at earlier, we cannot disciple others without first having a relationship. A relationship and a maintaining of a relationship, and even a growing one of relationship for disciples, teaching others about Christ and his ways and growing in obedience to that. That is a continual thing. And this true discipleship, do you know what it comes through? It comes through something called trust. It comes through building trust. You see, what we are saying to those we are teaching and those we are discipling, that all will be received much easier if there is trust established first. So, do you have trust? Do you have trust with those who are you are conversating with about sanctification? Do you have trust with them? Do you have trust with those that you are talking to about growing in Christ's likeness? And this could be within your own family or even beyond that. If not, what are you going to do to build that? How are you going to grow yourself to build that? I mean, look at Jesus for a second. It's all about Jesus. Look at him for a second. He spent what? He spent years of his ministry developing trust with his disciples. And it took them time and time again to hear what Jesus was saying and seeing him living it out over and over to begin to more fully understand what he was calling them to. And so the same rings true for us, okay? As we build relationships, we may need to demonstrate, we may need to say the same things over and over again until a level of trust is established. And as trust is established, a relationship will grow and discipleship can happen and can flourish.
So we need to remember that sanctification, okay, and the conversation about it, it includes the need for relationships. And with that said, the fourth talking point is this, and this is a biggie, at least for me. Sanctification is personal, but it is not individual. It is personal, but it is not individual. Now, I only want to discuss this one briefly today because we're going to really tackle this one in the fourth week of the series in a couple weeks. But in short, I am always intrigued, okay? I'm always intrigued. I guess I'm always a little confused by people who live out and say that they don't need to be a part of a church to be saved and in a growing relationship with Christ. And honestly, to be saved, they're probably correct. I mean, to simply be saved, one could sit at home or live life with the simple belief that God exists and that Christ died but rose again to forgive them of their sins, which is powerful stuff. But as we've already discussed, being saved, church, is much more than that. It's much more than that. That's what the book documents to us. Because as we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we are to continue experiencing his grace in deeper and deeper ways and living out of that grace through our journey towards sanctification. And a huge part of that, a huge part of our sanctification, is to take place in the context of community. Community with other believers, which is what the church is. And the first church, described in Acts 2, is just a beautiful representation of what a community of believers is to look like. So let's read it. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, says this: "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper," which we're going to share in together in a bit. "And they devoted themselves to prayer." And then it goes on to say this in verse 46. "They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." So these early Christians did what? They did life together. They lived life together. And because of it, what took place? Well, what took place is they carried the burdens of one another, didn't they? Love in action, in other words. And as a result, what? Did you notice what happened? More and more individuals, didn't they? More and more individuals were led to the Lord. This is a beautiful display of the fact that sanctification, okay, is not meant to be lived out in isolation. It just isn't. And yes, the journey of sanctification, it occurs in each one of us individually. But we are then called, and we are also called to live it out in community. Sanctification is personal, but it is not individual. You see, in this passage, we catch a glimpse of how that early church lived, how they lived out their faith in community in a healthy and God-honoring way, in a godly manner. And as an aside or a side note, but no coincidence, it's interesting to me that when we read this, okay, we actually see here all seven of our Revive Wesleyan values. Do you remember them? We see here in this reading that we just did that they what? That they valued the scriptures through the apostles' teachings. And we also see that they did what? They prayed daily for one another, for their world. And they worshiped, didn't they? As a gathering of believers, they worshiped. And then disciples were made through all of that. And thus, radical generosity, not just generosity, radical generosity was on display among them. in the sharing of food, in the sharing of everything, for example, in which they demonstrated another value. They demonstrated hospitality, didn't they? And in the daily addition to their numbers, remember, more and more added daily, we see them engage in what we call outreach. Simply put, okay, the early church practiced their faith. They practiced their faith, and they did so in community, radical community, and not in isolation. All of which is just a beautiful display of the fact, again, that sanctification is not meant to be lived out in isolation. It just isn't. Now, with that, the final talking point that we will cover today is this. Sanctification, you know what? It's all about love. It's all about love. For the gospel of Jesus Christ is all wrapped up in one word, and that word is love. And Jesus clearly lived this, and he states this in the gospel. Specifically, let's look at Mark 12, verse 29 to 31, where he says this. The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second, he said, is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Now just know that Jesus here is quoting from Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5. That's what he's quoting from here in Mark. And he did this because he was being asked by a religious leader of the day, which commandment is the greatest, Jesus? So Jesus used a teaching, you see, that the leader was already familiar with. And Jesus was claiming that beyond simply following the law and beyond simply following the rules, that we need to live and act them out from the basis of something, the basis of love, love for God, love for fellow human. And listen, deep down, all of humanity, including each and every one of you, all of humanity has the desire to be loved in a deep and meaningful way. It is ingrained in us, church. We don't just want to be liked. We don't just want to have acquaintances and friends. But we truly want, and we truly, in fact, need to be loved. Which, hear me now, that's why Jesus even came down to the earth. That is why he even came to the earth in the greatest act of love ever shown. And while we all have had different experiences in our lives that have flawed our image of love, you know, maybe broken marriages or parents who have walked away or friends who have betrayed us or any variety of issues, though all of that, Jesus's display of love on the cross was for each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. And that love surpasses any of that baggage we might have. And that love should be at the heart of our conversations. It should be at the core of our explanation of the journey into holiness or sanctification. And as we continue on this journey, these five talking points that we have covered this morning, they should be the primary topic of our conversations and our motivations towards sanctification. Because listen to me, as we experience the beauty and as we experience the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his full plan for us, we should first be able to point people to him. First and foremost, it's about Jesus. It's about him. And we should then be able to identify that it's not just about acknowledging who Jesus is, but striving to live a life like him with the power of the Holy Spirit's help. And as we strive, church, to live like him, we need to realize that that is all much easier to do once we become and come to a point in where we can trust who he says he is. And that only comes by spending time with him and being in a relationship with him and a deeper and deeper one with him. And then we rightly need to be able to share this experience with others, not keeping in isolation, church, and hidden away for ourselves, but sharing it out. And speaking of that, we're gearing up for the fall already. Can you believe that? You might want to throw something at me. I know, right? It's not even summer yet. We're gearing up for the fall already. It's only spring, but we need to plan. We need to prepare. And thus, we are planning an all-church journey in the fall, and it's going to all be about disciple-making. And this will be the time, okay, to get involved with and be a part of a small group, of a community group, if you're not in one. So if you want to explore that and be contacted with options to be involved, which I couldn't more highly recommend or encourage, I'm just telling you, today's the time to take a step, okay? All you got to do is text the word group. You can text it right now. Text the word group to 716-649-6335. And you can do that now or later, but do it now, okay, so you don't forget. And we're also going to need people to lead these groups, okay, and facilitate them. So if you feel the nudge to consider leading a group and to be trained a little bit to do so, please text the word lead to that same number, 716-649-6335. Do that now or do it later, but do it now, okay? If you're even willing to consider that. But with that, then finally today and going forward, we need to be able to acknowledge that this all comes down. It all comes down, okay? It all comes down to the greatest act of love in all of human history. It all comes down to that. And that we are called, church, to display this love to others and back to the Lord in our day-to-day interactions with those in our neighborhoods, those in our communities, those in our homes, those in our churches. For we are all on a road trip traveling down this highway of sanctification to one day reach our Heavenly Father and to see Him face to face. And so with that, my closing question for us all this morning to wrestle with is this. Will you just sit in your vehicle on the side of the road waiting for holiness to come to you? Or will you jump on the highway? Will you jump on the highway? Will you put the pedal down maybe a little bit more as the Lord appropriate leads you, okay? Would you do that and journey toward a life that experiences the kingdom of heaven here on earth more and more? Will you do that or not? That's the question. And if not, are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to miss the sights? Are you willing to miss the heights He has prepared in advance for you to see and for you to experience? Because that's the risk in all that. And are you willing to share that with others and miss out on doing that with others? That's the question this morning. Don't just sit in the car. Put the pedal down, and as He appropriately leads you, put it down a little bit more. Keep moving forward toward Him, because He's got wonderful things for you, for us all, meaningful things, eternal things. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning, and Lord, I just thank You for who You are and what You've done. Lord, I thank You that You have not left us as orphans, as Your word says, but You have adopted us. Through our acceptance of Your saving grace, You have adopted us, and You've not left us alone. For You said in that great commission, I am surely with you always to the end of the age, and You are with us through Your Holy Spirit. Lord, the Spirit that empowers us to move along this journey of sanctification. And Lord, I just pray that as we think about this idea of are we just sitting in the car and, you know, just have that fire insurance, are we really satisfied with that? I know I'm not. I want to move forward, God. So would You empower all of us? Would You lead us to understand what that may look like for each of us individually? In Jesus Christ's name, amen.